This is BookCareers.com Live, the podcast about careers in book publishing for people who are looking for a job, building a career, or who want to do their current job better. I'm your host, Suzanne Collier, the founder of BookCareers.com, and it's my job to solve career problems relating to the book world. Hello and welcome to episode 123 of BookCareers.com Live. Last week we held another Book Careers Newcomers Job Club meeting and I answered lots of questions, so thought it was about time that we had another episode of Job Seekers Questions and Answers. Before I start, if you want to join the Newcomers Job Club, then please go to the BookCareers.com homepage, scroll down to where it says Job Club Initiative, and you'll find the registration page there. If you're currently unemployed and already have held down a job in the UK book industry, then please register to join the Book Careers Professionals instead. For anything else, please check out the BookCareers.com website. We have lots going on. Or if you're stuck, book into our telephone careers clinic. Go to the website and click Book a Call. Alternatively, you can email me at suzanne@bookcareers.com. Right, let's get stuck in. Question. Are references needed on a CV? Do you recommend including them when the job advertisement doesn't ask for any? Answer. The standard format for references on a CV is currently references available on request. The only time you might deviate from this is if you know one of your referees has a major connection or influence with the role you are going for. Maybe your referee is someone from another department of the same publisher who you undertook work experience with, or one of their best-selling authors, or some sort of celebrity. However, always be aware that thankfully, publishing is becoming far less about who you know and much more about what you know. Question. How do you apply for an internship or entry-level position within publishing with a master's degree without constantly being told that you are overqualified? Answer. I don't think you're being told you are overqualified because you've got a master's. I imagine, without having seen your CV, that you are being told you're overqualified because of how you express some of the work experience or your prior employment history on your CV. If everything on your CV says, I managed this, I developed that, I took control of the team, etc., then that may lead the employer to believe you have far more experience and may be overqualified. However, please check your vocabulary and ensure you aren't using management level words for applying to an entry level role, because you'll probably find you'll have greater success with applications if you downgrade some of your vocabulary. Words such as contributed, coordinated and liaised usually work best when writing an entry level CV. Question. Do you have any advice for getting out of a job hunting slump or how to stay motivated amidst lots of rejection? Answer. Yes, I've lots of advice. And if you go to the BookCareers.com website, click the podcast link and put the words long job search in the search box, you'll find episode 43 and episode 90 of this podcast, both which will give you lots of supportive tips and methods of dealing with the current situation. Good luck on that. Question. When is it time to stop applying for entry-level roles and start applying for higher-level roles due to age or experience? Answer. If you're on a job search, it's always best to read all the job advertisements for the level you are looking at and what appears to be the level slightly above the one you want. For instance, in some industries, The word executive in a job title means director level. However, in book publishing, it often appears as a second or third job level, and in some instances, you can find executive roles suitable for those just starting out. In the same way, I've seen vacancies for assistants that require several years' experience. A recent editorial assistant role with a major imprint was a good example of that. The publisher was asking for applicants who had proven abilities and editorial and proofreading experience, as well as a thorough understanding of the publishing landscape. Some of the criteria they used is unlikely to apply to a person straight out of education and looking for their first publishing job. The best way to ascertain whether you should apply for a particular role is by reading the whole of the job advertisement, and that will be your gauge as to whether the job is the right level for your own skills and competencies. It isn't restricted by age, nor, with job titles being so much of a muchness, to a particular job title. As you are about to discover, career progression within the industry is not related to job title and is not clear and can be patchy in places. Question: if you have a limited amount of professional experience, can you list volunteer experience on your CV? For example, volunteering for an international book fair, and if so, must you indicate that it was voluntary? Answer: yes. Any experience you gain in or around publishing, whether paid or voluntary, can contribute to the skills and competencies on your CV. And I put a caveat in here: not to work for free. All free work ever brings you is more free work. It's best to indicate that it was voluntary, and always indicate exactly how long it lasted. For example, if you put the month of June on your CV and the placement only asked for 1 week, you should put June and then in brackets 1 week, so it's clear how much time you spent in the role. If you don't do this, you'll find when you're interviewed, you're asked about the month you spent in the role and you reply, no, it was only a week. Suddenly, everything else you've said or are about to say loses credibility. You are no longer believed. It's far better to be completely honest about any short-term volunteering or placements than to dress them up into something they are not. This also includes overstating tasks or responsibilities that you might undertake in such placements. Most of us know what a two-week placement somewhere consists of. You're not expected to run the company, nor make decisions. You're probably answering a few emails, sitting in on a few meetings, and maybe writing a book report. All of that is fine and extremely credible for any placement. Question: what is the etiquette regarding thank you emails after an interview? Answer: after an interview, if you still want the job, then a thank you email is best sent within a few hours after the interview has finished to thank the interviewer for their time and reinforce your interest in the role. Don't send this immediately after the interview has finished. Give yourself time to think about what was said in the interview and if there was anything else you wanted to add or ask. For example, if the interviewer had mentioned a forthcoming title from themselves or a major promotion by a competitor that you hadn't picked up, then you might mention in your follow-up email that you had a look at the title and can see what they mean about whatever the interviewer mentioned. Or if you discussed a book that you hadn't read, you might respond, "I've just ordered a copy," or "I've put it to the top of my reading list." If you're like me and your mind goes completely blank during an interview, there might be an additional answer to a critical question that they asked, which you stumbled on during the interview, down to nerves. If appropriate, it's fine to come back with an answer in the thank you email. For example, when you asked me about events I'd already organised, my mind went completely blank. But of course, I've organised many events over the years, such as A, B, C, D, and E. Question. When the application asks for something extra, for example, 250 words about your favourite book, should I include these words in the words of my covering letter, or should I send it at a paragraph at the end of my covering letter? Answer. Oh, decisions, decisions. I would check the wording of the advertisement extremely carefully. If you've ever heard me speak about anything, you will know that I say the number one thing to get right is the ability to read and understand instructions. So if the wording is such that it says include in your covering letter 250 words about your favourite book, I would add those words within a paragraph of the text of the covering letter. If it says, as well as your covering letter, please send 250 words about your favourite book, I would add it as a paragraph after the end of the covering letter. Now, you're not necessarily going to be rejected on where you place these 250 words. But if, as a recruiter, I had put this in as a test to see how well you read and understood instructions, I might take note of where these words were placed, as well as what these words said. I think that's enough answers for this week for you to be getting on with. Remember, if you're stuck, my email, as always, is suzanne@bookcareers.com.
Now it is your opportunity to join in the live discussion. You can find us across social media using the hashtag bookcareers or on Twitter @bookcareers or me personally, Suzanne Collier. Or visit our own platform at bookcareers.com/live. Thank you for listening. May you all be doing a job you love and being paid the salary that you so richly deserve.